So, Mike, I heard you've been playing some video games.
Well, you heard right, friend. I just bought Fez the other day, finally. It was like $5 on GOG.
GOG?
GOG.
Fucking people call it GOG.
I call it GOG. I probably say my name in my head. It's GOG.com. How can I not call it GOG?
All right.
Good old games. They're having their summer sale. And George. I finally picked up Fez. So happy. I had this internal struggle between, do I want a pretty constantly updated Steam copy of the game, or do I want to go with a DRM-free route and appeal to my sense of justice? So I went with GOG because it was there.
To appeal to your inner digital Batman?
Yes, exactly. Digital Batman. Even though I know that Steam is going to have their summer sale in like a few weeks,
I am not looking
forward
to that.
$0.03.
I am so worried.
It's going to be really bad.
I just started making money. I just started getting back money.
Well, not anymore.
I know.
It's all going away.
I know. I don't feel that bad about it, though, because, like, honestly, I look at, like, a lot of my Steam transactions. I look at the page that shows you all of your Steam transactions, and it shows you, like, what you acquire, like, this game at in terms of pricing. And majority of the time, I'm under, like, $5-6.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, and it's really good. And if it's not that, then it's through, like, another site.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't remember. I mean, obviously, the Indie Bundle and stuff like Good Old Games.
Oh, yeah. Or GOG, as some call it. Yeah, no, the Humble Bundle has been a big boon for us.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. And I, like, just dove... I had so much time this last week, and I just dove head first into it, and it feels really, really good.
Yeah, I did the same. I spent a lot of time with Fez, and it's everything that I hoped it would be.
Good.
It's just a fantastic game. So good.
Is it as, like, low stress as he, like, kind of stressed it to be? That's not the way to phrase that at all.
No, but definitely, yes. It's very low stress. Like, you can go wherever. There's very few constraints. It's just find cubes, man.
All right.
And just enjoy the beautiful scenery and the music.
Which it is, I hope.
It's so beautiful.
Cool.
Hey, Mike, here's your childhood. Plus 10.
When was that released? Is that released, like, last year around this time?
I want to say... yeah, 11 or 12.
Okay. Because I have, like, no scope for this stuff. All the dates get mixed up in my head because of Indie Game the Movie.
I know. I always forget. Let's see. It was released on Steam, like, last month or 2 months ago.
Oh, right.
So I don't actually know.
It's got the XBLA release on there, too?
No.
Yeah, that's fine. It sometime in the past.
Yeah. I think it was 2012.
I think pretty so, sure. too.
Pretty sure.
Yeah.
But that's not all I've been playing.
I know.
I also finally returned to Bioshock Infinite, and I have completed it.
You couldn't stop texting me last night about how it just, like, rocked your world.
Oh, my God. Total mindfuck. Just, wow. I didn't see a couple of things coming. It was good. It was good.
Cool.
I'm so glad it was that good too. It wasn't. I don't feel it was overhyped now that I've seen it.
That's excellent. And have you played the previous Bioshocks at all?
No, this was the first Bioshock game I actually played.
Okay. Interesting. I wonder if the other ones are going to seem like disappointments now, or just like different.
Yeah, I don't think they'll be disappointing because they're still pretty critically acclaimed story-wise.
Yeah, they seem to hold up well. I mean, I'm playing through the first one now, and it seems to hold up. I mean, considering it's, you know, a couple of years old.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I won't judge it purely based on graphics or anything.
Yeah, well, for sure, yeah.
But yeah, so, first of all, it feels good just to finally finish a game. After having such a backlog of games to finish.
Yeah, it feels really awesome just to, like, pick something up and churn through, especially indie games.
Oh, yeah.
Indie games, I mean, well, not that Bioshock is, but, like,
right,
going through the indie bundle, like, it's like, like, sit down for 3 hours and finish a game. It feels good. And, like, it reopens the gates of, like, being able to finish all of these things that you've, like, hoarded.
Yeah, that's good stuff. And finishing, like, a huge AAA title. Like, I'm not a huge AAA gamer, but it feels good to finish, like, a big box game.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Right,
and just the fact that it's Bioshock Infinite is the third thing. Amazing. And I had this moment after I was done of, like, bonding with this PC I built, because I was like, hey, man, we finished Bioshock Infinite together. I love you.
And then it came alive. Yes, we did, Mike! And then it...
If it were to come alive, I would hope it had that voice.
It talks by, like, does it have... It's got, like, a... I don't know why I'm even asking that. It's got a CD drive, right?
It doesn't, no, actually.
Oh, so really?
How would it talk, yeah.
Oh.
Just oscillate the fans differently.
That's so interesting. How will you ever install things on there if they come in discs?
It's 2013.
You're 2013!
So... We're all 2013, Zach.
That's it. Done. Shut it down.
End.
Cool, though. What do you think you're going to be moving on to next?
Who? Well, I'd like to finish Fez.
Ah, yes.
I think I want that to be the next thing that I finish. And then, just because I got it and I don't want to drift away from it, then I'll probably go back and finish Hotline Miami, because I still have to finish that. And then I'll probably try to chug through the latest Humble Bundle.
It's a good plan. There are a couple of those that really just, you know, you sit down and chug through in one sitting. Like, Little Inferno will probably last you at the very most, like, 3 hours.
Oh, okay.
If you end up playing that. Which I think you should. It's one of those ones that I just sat down and beat it, and I think it was, like, two hours, 45 minutes or something like that. But it's, I don't want to explain the central, like, mechanic of it. I will say it's very original.
Okay.
And it's got, like, a good quirky story to it. It's got a good, like, fleshed out kind of atmosphere, which is really interesting because you don't spend a lot of time in that atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see what I mean. And it's really interesting because, like, the whole central, like, gameplay mechanic in itself isn't, like, super, super fun. It's not, like, incredibly gratifying or anything. It is just very original. But, like, that's all right. Like, there are other parts of the game that, like, compensate for that. And it's really interesting. And it's... I feel like it's one of those games that everyone can derive their own sort of meaning from it.
Mm-hmm.
So let me know when you play and beat that, because I would love to talk with you about that.
Yeah, I'll do that after Hotline Miami, then, I guess.
Cool. Yeah, which I also played and finished, like, everything. I super, yeah. Super obsessed with this game. I went through and got all of the masks, which I found, by the way, if you are looking for those as well, it says that you can unlock a mask, like, by getting high scores and levels and stuff. Mm-hmm. I thought that meant, like, you get a high score, like, you beat a level and you get a mask, but if you get, like, a super high score, then you get, like, this other mask, and, like, that's not true. Like, most of the time when you beat a level, you unlock a mask, and all of the other masks are hidden throughout the other levels, so keep your eyes open if you're looking for those. Yeah.
Huh.
And I finished the little puzzle thing, which...
Oh, nice.
Which I think is worth finishing, because it lets you in a little bit more of the story in the end as well.
Okay. I was wondering if they would do something like that.
Yeah, they did, and it was cool. But yeah, besides, like, achievements and stuff, I finished everything I wanted to finish in that game. Which is cool. I mean, I had fun.
Isn't that the point of games?
Not always, man. Sometimes you just gotta express yourself. You gotta have a lot of emotions, like David Cage.
Okay. What else you got going on?
I also finally finished Anodyne, which I've kinda got some mixed feelings about. I mentioned this before, it's kind of like, it really takes a lot from Link's Awakening, I feel. It's got a very similar style of gameplay, you're exploring around, you're finishing dungeons, and you're kind of just doing these things.
Alright.
And, I don't know, I told you before how, like, the gameplay, like, in itself wasn't really, like, super solid, like, the controls are kind of sloppy. I mean, like, it's stuff like even... later on in the game, like, there's a jump mechanic, and you jump over, like, holes and stuff, but you can fall down those holes, just kind of like in A Link to the Past or any other, like, 2D top-down Zelda game. Yeah. You fall down the holes, you lose some health, you start in the same room, yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, like, no matter how long I had played the game, even towards, like, the last third of the game, I was still having trouble, like, maneuvering my guy, and I feel like that's a sign of I don't know, poor, I don't know if I want to say, like, programming, but poor something. Like, something was just a little bit too slippery with how that was designed.
Mm-hmm.
And in itself, like, the dungeons weren't, like, that fun either. Like, they always felt like chores that you just, like, had to go through, that you need to progress through, which is not how you do Zelda games,
because
obviously those are supposed to be fun and, like, kind of intriguing and satisfying, but
they... That's really disappointing to hear.
Yeah, they... I mean, thankfully not all of the focus is put on the dungeons, and some of them weren't that bad, but it's definitely not where the game shines. And where it started to shine was its, like, plot that it was kind of alluding to, and it's, like, vague, like, kind of storytelling it was trying to do, and it was just very bizarre and, in, like, a good way. It was kind of, like, surreal and very, self-aware, even at points witty. But the thing is, like, when you actually go and finish the game, there is no reveal. There's, like, you go to fight the final boss, you finish it, and it just kind of, it drops off, it ends. There's no, unraveling. There's no, like, narrative there's no narrative satisfaction in the end. And I wanted to like this game too, because it was, I don't know, like, these two guys just, like, kind of made it, and that's, like, you're always kind of rooting for indie devs, like, we definitely are, but it, I don't know. I mean, I feel like they could have done better. I feel like there was room for improvement with that. But point is, it's finished. That's about it. I don't want to go on too long about, like, just talking about the games I played. I'll do this really quick, though. DLC Quest is exactly what you think. You play through it, you get coins, you buy, like, new things like sound and jumping and stuff. But it's not fun to play. Like, it's...
Okay.
They start at the beginning, it's like, this is a satire game. It's like, oh, okay, like, that's fine, cool.
Yeah.
But as you're playing it, you get it, and it's the same thing over again, and it's not fun. It's just fine.
So it's just more of a commentary on games than a game that you would want to play itself.
Exactly. I wouldn't buy it.
Okay.
I mean, it's like, it's hella cheap. I got it for $1.50. I still wouldn't really, like, I don't know. It's, watch a trailer, watch a walkthrough or something, and you'll understand within the first 5 minutes.
The joke lands. It's funny.
For the first, like, 2 or 3 minutes, and then it's the same joke throughout the,
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Then what else? I reintroduced myself to Don't Starve, which I started playing when Dave got it for me. By got it for me, I mean, they were doing a cool thing where you bought a copy of Don't Starve and came with one that you could just give to a friend, which is an awesome way to, like, market your game, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
And they're doing these continual updates. I think it might still be in beta. I don't know if it ever did, like, an official release, but they're constantly doing updates. And it really is, like... 2D, like, Victorian Minecraft, almost.
Huh.
It's really, it's got, like, all this, like, pseudoscience stuff in it, and it's neat. Something worth looking into.
Yeah, right? I was definitely intrigued by it. I should check that out.
The only thing I will say is that it's kind of tough to, like, break into, because it doesn't really start being fun until, like, a couple days into it. Like, otherwise, it's just, like, busy work where you have to, like, gather all your materials. It is kind of like Minecraft, where you just have to, like, gather a lot of stuff initially and just try and survive the first few days. But after you break the first few days, it starts getting fun, because you can unlock all these wacky things, and you find these new creatures and shit, and all this random stuff starts happening.
Okay.
And they do Insanity particularly well in that game. They added a new Insanity feature.
Oh, nice.
And there's, like, depending on the character, there are different, like, quirks that'll make them, sorry, should have gotten some water. Jeez. Different, like, quirks that'll make them go insane. Like, there's a strong man who, like, when he eats a lot, he gets, like, super buff and he does a lot of damage, but he's terrified of the dark.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, so that's pretty fun. And then, I mentioned last week how Dave came and visited, and he did. And we played a new Borderlands 2 DLC.
Right.
It was the, it was like Hammerlock's, hunt or something. It was pretty much like this big hunting expedition themed, like DLC. And it was not fun.
Yeah, I see, on our little sheet here, you typed in all caps, "Why this sucked cock."
Yeah, I wanted to explain why it sucked cock. It sucked cock because, specifically, something did not work with the level scaling. It just, we struggled through a lot of fights, and there were just a few level differences that were really questionable, and even in the design of some of the enemies as well, they just seemed really difficult to fucking fight. And we, I mean, normally what we do is, I'm sure this is what you or anyone else who like really into Borderlands would do either. You start like a little bit into the story, and then you like when side quests are presented to you, you do them immediately. Like you don't touch the story because you don't want it to end, because you want to finish all the side quests before you do the story. Obviously, mm-hmm. We like blazed right through the story because none of the side quests were like even doable for us. It was retarded. I don't understand.
Wow.
But where that is a disappointment, hopefully, I've only heard good things for the next, like, D&D themed Bunkers and Badasses DLC.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be happening, so we should probably be breaking into that soon. And when I play that, I will let you know how that is, because I'm a big fan of D&D, so I will probably enjoy that. And those are all the games I've played in the last, like, week.
Nice.
All right.
All right, glad we got through that.
Indeed. On to the news.
Yes, why don't you go ahead?
Right, okay. Let's jump into this Zelda thing. So there's been, you know, lately there's been this huge resurgence of females in games and in game development. And I think it was, I think Nintendo said that if fans asked for it, they would make Zelda a playable character in a Zelda game.
Yeah, I forget who, some probably head of design guy for the Zelda series. I think his name's actually in the article or something.
Probably. So a lot of people are asking for it now, because that would be super cool, because in every single game, she's just kind of this, you know, she's this ruler with power over all of the lands of Hyrule, and then some dude snatches her up and she's just kind of useless.
I know, and that's kind of a big, when you eventually play Wind Waker, that's one of those, mm-hmm. The complaints is that she's...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and wait, did that get, like, spoiled for you at all?
I mean, I get a bit of it because I played Phantom Hourglass.
Okay, so you pretty much know Tetra is Zelda, then?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, all right, good. Well, like, that's the thing, too, like, she starts out as, like, this awesome badass pirate with a bunch of personality, but then she turns into Zelda, and that kind of just seeps
you got
away,
nothing.
And she's just Zelda.
What happened?
Yeah. It was funny, because I remember before, like, this started getting more press, mm-hmm. that there was some, I think it was actually like a 4chan post on like V or something, which is their video game like subsection, mm-hmm. which like pretty much brought up this idea that the next Zelda game should be you playing as Zelda,
mm-hmm.
throughout the 7 years that Link was away. So you get to experience like the fall of Hyrule, like the kingdom and stuff, and her
eternal
struggle.
That would actually be really awesome.
Yeah, and eventually like honing her skills as like this Sheik, like alter ego and stuff.
Yeah.
See, that would
be
a really
be
good idea. See, right? It really would be. It's interesting that this is gaining so much traction, though, and I think it's a really mm-hmm. good time for it, too.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Oh,
I would play that, man.
Yeah, no, I totally would, too. I think that would be super awesome. And, like, you know what? Even if Nintendo made, like, half the effort to do a kind of interesting, like, and like co-op narrative thing, where part of it you do play as Link and part of it you do play as Zelda, I think even that would be a big step. I would appreciate that, too. Because
mm-hmm.
I could see some... I think that would please everyone, too, because like there would be some people who, if you just made like a strict like Zelda game, there would be complaints like, I want to play as Link. Like, this is a completely different game because of the like the main character that you've chosen to include as a central protagonist. And I understand mm-hmm. like where they would be coming from, in a sense. I think it's a little bit selfish, but... I understand it, and
sure.
I think that doing it kind of, like, trading off, like, you play this section as Link, you play this section as Zelda or something would be kind of neat.
Yeah, they could always do that. But I think marketing it as, like, a tie-in of the in-between years, I think that would be good.
No, that would be an incredibly profitable game. Regardless of if it was good or not, they would make a lot of money off of that.
Yeah. Yeah, that should totally be a thing that they do.
Yeah, that would be nice. I don't think that they'll go that route with it.
Mm-hmm.
They've probably already planned what they want to do for the next Zelda on the Wii U anyways.
Oh, yeah. That's got to be in development.
Yeah, right? And part of me isn't really sure if they would include that or if they would make, like, her own separate third-party game for the DS or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or I guess, I feel like it would have to be first-party. But who knows, though?
Yeah.
Still, it that... that's a thing that most people want, and anyone who says that they... I can understand people who don't want it, but people who are just like, no, that like that doesn't make any sense. That's retarded.
Yes.
They should probably just, I don't know, like, widen your scope a little bit. Like, look at, like, the times that we are in and understand that how cool of a thing that would be.
And besides that, it's her fucking legend.
Yeah, and she's got, like, the Triforce of Wisdom and shit.
Right. Time for a bigger role.
Yeah, I think so.
Good.
All right, so the next bit of news that we have, and this one's a little bit cryptic. There was an interview with someone at Ubisoft. I don't know these names. I don't know their place in the company, but he is a big name for the game Watch Dogs. Mm-hmm. And
which I'm real excited for.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It does look really fantastic. But there was some question regarding like the marketing of I think it was Bungie's Destiny. I guess there was something how they said that Destiny was going to be there's going to be content planned for like the next 10 years or
right.
something like that. And I guess the guy pretty much responded, it's like, yeah, that's kind of what we're doing with Watch Dogs. But he didn't really allude to how they were going to be doing that. So we don't know if this is DLC. We don't know if this is, like, constant updates to the game.
Yeah.
It's shrouded in mystery as to what they'll really be doing with it.
Okay.
But I think that's so interesting how we can, like, in this day and age, like, that is feasible. Like, planning a decade around a single video game isn't, like, super, super out of the question.
Yeah.
That's kind of ridiculous.
I mean, because we've kind of seen the span of console generations now. So we can say, yeah, Xbone and PS4 are going to be around for a while. Probably like 10 years, if not more.
Yeah, I don't think it's unreasonable to say that.
Totally.
Because like, I don't even know how long the last console generation lasts. It's a decent while. It was close to 10 years.
Yeah, it was a good long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
So... yeah, that makes sense. And Watch Dogs is the kind of world that I would love to see continue to change and live for 10 years.
Yeah, that's
like
true.
If they were to do the kind of living world thing, not to the same degree where it's like an MMO, but in kind of the same way that they would do with Destiny, I think that'd be awesome for Watch Dogs.
Yeah, so if the world like changed with time and like maybe in gradual updates, you're saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That would be pretty neat. I'd like that. That would be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, but 10 years. Like, it makes sense, like, considering how much money is poured into games that you would want to, like, try and get as much for this, like, as much out of this product as you could as, like, a company.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's a long time.
Yeah, it really is.
That's interesting, though. I'm curious to see how that plays out for everyone, really, for, it was Destiny, right? Bungie's Destiny. Yeah.
Yeah.
For both Destiny and Watch Dogs.
Like, I'm not going to buy it, but I'm interested in seeing what happens to it.
Yeah, for sure.
Destiny, that is.
Watch Dogs? I might buy that.
Yeah. Maybe wait for a Steam sale, but yeah.
Well, I would probably.
I think I have yet to pay $60 for a game.
Oh my god, no. I might have paid like $60 for 10 games.
Yeah, right?
At some point.
That's just not going to happen.
That's ridiculous. I do not remember the last time I bought a new game. Yeah. I guess Animal Crossing was pretty new, which we finally got.
You did just buy that, yeah.
Yeah, and that came in the mail a few days before the 3DS. So that's something.
Are you still waiting for the 3DS?
Yeah, okay. I'm tracking it now. They said that it should be here tomorrow by the end of the day.
Sweet.
And that is what my evening will be dedicated to.
Yeah. I'm very jealous.
That's going to be so awesome. I'm very excited. I'm getting everyone's friend codes in advance.
Nice. Mm-hmm. You looking into Pokemon at all?
A little bit. Mika's birthday is actually coming up pretty soon. It's this Wednesday. And I was thinking it's like, surprisingly, it was like, oh, like, here's a pre-order of, like, X or Y or something. But, like, the trend has been since Black and White has come out, we've always just, like, gotten each other the Pokemon games anyways to play with each other. So, that's just gonna have to eventually happen. And on top of that, I'd have to pre-order it, and it wouldn't, like, get to her until October. So it'd kind of be, like, one of those nice thoughts of a gift.
Mm-hmm.
So instead I got her Arkham Horror.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, which she's played before and really liked, and she like told me that she wanted to own it one day. So
awesome! That looks really cool.
I'm excited to play.
We were just in Barnes & Noble in their board game section, looking at something to buy. We went with Forbidden Island.
Ooh.
Which is, it's really good. It's like this island made up of tiles, and there's like a water level meter, and over time the water gets higher, and some of the tiles sink, and you have to save them and get off the island.
Oh, neat.
It's good stuff. It's another cooperative everybody versus the game thing.
Fucking love those ones.
It's a lot of fun.
Those
yeah.
are so good. Because, like, another... you know, like it's particularly great for people who are, like, not everyone can always get to, like, board game night or something, or you just have, like, you and one other person who wants to play a board game. Like, those are particularly great in those situations, which is which is exactly what I wanted to, like, sort of do with us, because we don't have a lot of two-player board games that we can play.
Yeah.
And that is what I wanted to do.
That's good.
And I waited way too long, like, for a good idea, so I finally, like, used my free Amazon Prime, like, account thing, so it's getting here tomorrow, and I think I ordered it on, like, Thursday or Friday.
Sweet.
So, thanks, Amazon. I owe you one.
Or rather, you don't.
Ho ho.
Speaking of the 3DS, I found this list of the 12 best games on the 3DS currently.
Ah, yes.
I thought I would share that with you because you now have a 3DS.
Yes. Why don't you go ahead and read them off? I'm not looking at the list. I didn't want to look at the list to ruin what the best alleged top 10 were. So.
Cool. Yes. Yeah, I'll go through these. At the top, of course, Animal Crossing New Leaf, which you are now the proud owner of.
Yes.
Next is Fire Emblem Awakening.
I've heard a lot of stuff about Fire Emblem Awakening, and I've tried playing one of the games in the series, and it's good. I dig it. I think that there are a lot of different things in Awakening that are probably going to be really good. Like, I'm pretty sure there's some, like, relationship kind of buildy thingy that you can do. You can, like, manage what characters interact with each other, and they gain, like, specific bonuses, like, from getting married or from being in a relationship.
Oh, okay.
So it's like a tactical RPG with a dating sim in it.
Yeah. Kind of weird.
I feel like that is one I will eventually get, just because, like, everyone just seems to like it. It seems, like, really, really good and really fun.
Yeah, I've never actually played a Fire Emblem game, but...
It's kind of along the same lines as, like, Final Fantasy Tactics, or... I don't know if you've really ever played any game that would be similar to it.
Is it, like, are the battles, like, similar to Final Fantasy?
Think
like a turn-based thing?
Yeah, think of Final Fantasy, but you have to factor in, like, the terrain and where your guys are positioned. Like, have you ever played, like, Advanced Wars or anything like that?
It sounds like... What is it called? Hang on. Luminous Arc I played on the DS.
Okay.
There's kind of a terrain grid thing.
Yeah.
And there's movement. Yeah. Okay, so that's cool.
Yes. There are both of those things in that game.
Nice. What else we got? Kid Icarus Uprising?
Oh, yeah. I think that was a launch title, wasn't it?
I think so, yeah.
I think there was a lot of complaints over, like, a specific... something about the controls. I don't remember what it was, but, like, it was something how people couldn't, like, hold on a specific button to, like... I don't know. I guess it was just a weird kind of control decision that they decided to implement with that, but otherwise it's supposed to be pretty good.
Under it says they have things for a good match for this and not for those who want this, and under not for those who want it says precise controls. So
yeah,
there's that.
Yeah, that was a big complaint when it first released, I remember.
Yeah, I mean, it's still on the list, but
I think Dave has that one, so I could totally swipe that one from him.
Oh yeah, cool. Ocarina of Time 3D.
Which we are getting with the 3DS.
Nice. Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know if I remember I told you this or not. I told a couple of people, I didn't want to, like, over-tell anyone. So, like, but, Nintendo's got a deal where if you buy one of their refurbed 3DSs, you get Ocarina of Time with it for the price of a new 3DS.
That's nice.
So for $170, or, well, I guess if you're ordering online, it actually turned out to be like $185 or something like that for, like, you know, shipping and all that bullshit. But you get a refurbed 3DS from Nintendo with Ocarina of Time.
That's fantastic.
It is.
Wow. I got to play a little bit of that, and it's real good.
Yeah, and I'm excited because then I can actually beat that game. I've never, like, gone through the whole thing.
No, yeah, same here. Sadly.
Yeah.
And it's not on the list yet, because it's not out yet, but obviously the new Zelda on the 3DS.
Oh, yeah, that's...
What's it called?
Link Between Worlds?
Yeah, right.
Link Pun the Game?
Right, exactly. Link Pun 2, 3DS version.
Yeah, I'm a huge Link to the Past fan, so I will get that, for sure.
Excited. Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon?
I want that really bad, because I love Luigi's Mansion real bad.
Never played it.
That, if you ever see that used anywhere, pick that up.
I will do that.
That's a one-of-a-kind game that you need to play on the GameCube.
Yeah, it looks really interesting. It's like the companion to Super Mario Sunshine.
Yeah.
It's the backpack-based weird thing they decided to do with their Mario characters.
Yeah. And I think it's supposed to... this might just be a rumor. I think Luigi's Mansion was kind of supposed to be a parody of Resident Evil a little bit.
Okay.
Just in the way that it's framed and the way that it's styled.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that is a very fun, unique game.
Nice. Of course, Mario Kart 7.
You know what, the handheld Mario Kart games are not really for me. That is probably the only one on the list I might not be so sold on.
I like them.
I love, like, Double Dash and stuff.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I did play, there was one Mario Kart game for the DS that I played that was, I mean, it's just alright. Like, I don't know, Mario Kart, for me, is much more of a party game. Like, you drink a little bit, you hook up, like, a Nintendo 64 or something, you play some Mario Kart. But I don't really dig playing it alone, I guess.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
Those of us who don't have any friends can play it by ourselves, then.
Yeah, Mike. You friendless bastard.
Yeah. New Super Mario Bros. 2 is on the list. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a Mario game.
I'm not that interested in it.
Yeah.
It's the thing with all the coins.
Oh.
It seems like kind of a bad game.
Is it the Nintendo simulator, or that you just roll in the money?
Yes. Yeah, you play as Satoru Iwata.
That's the one that has the Scrooge McDuck suit in it, right?
Right, yeah. You dress him up in that, you take a little bow, and then you just dive into your massive pool of coins.
All right.
Next. Project X Zone. I've not heard of this game.
What is that?
It looks like... I think it's a fighting game.
Huh. I might have to look into that, then.
Wait, it says turn-based strategy. But what?
Maybe it is a turn-based strategy fighting game.
Let's
RPG.
Read
the thing. Person shooter. Tactical.
Project X Zone. There have been major gaming crossovers before, but never on the scale of Project X Zone. Brought to you by Namco Bandai, Sega, and Capcom, this game is built around watching the absurd and often hilarious ways that over 60 characters from series as different as Tekken, Valkyria Chronicles, and Mega Man X interact with each other.
Oh.
Yet beneath the over-the-top crazy crossover aspect of the game is excellently realized turn-based strategy title with complex level design and plenty of customization possibilities.
That sounds awesome.
That does sound awesome.
that's kind of like, it sounds like a Marvel versus Capcom thing, but if you took that and just took characters from all different franchises and then put them in turn-based strategy.
Yeah.
Which I much prefer over fighting games, because I kind of really suck at fighting games.
Yeah.
And
not easy.
I'm not an uber-competitive kind of guy.
Right. That looks cool. Why have I not heard of that?
Yeah, I have no idea. I've never heard of that either. That's cool, though.
Sweet. We got Professor Layton, the Miracle Mask.
Sweet. I love Professor Layton. That's actually one I've been playing the first one, like here and there when I have some time, which I'll probably be playing much more since we'll have the 3DS now. Like, me and Meek have been sharing a DS.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really the only thing hindering me from being that. Because games are so good at atmosphere. Like, if you ever...
They really are, yeah.
Yeah, they just... They're one of the few handheld games that really feel like it's like this little world in your hands.
Totally. Yeah.
And I love
the music.
Yeah, music's so very good. And some of the puzzles are kind of bullshitty. Like, sometimes you get one that's just like, oh, like, you should think it like this. And like, that's fucking bullshit. Fuck you. But it's a good thing a lot of them are optional.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True. I played the third one, Unwound Future, and liked it very much.
Yeah, that's the thing I'm hoping. I'm hoping that they just, like, either stay as good as the first one is, which I think the first one's Curious Village, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
I hope they just, they either get better than that or just stay at the same level of goodness as, mm-hmm. you know, Curious Village. Because I know that there are a lot of them, and by the law of averages, there's probably at least one that kind of sucks, but hopefully not.
Yeah. Professor Layton, it seems like the series that does not have a sucky entry.
I hope so. Like, I would
from
be
what I've seen, at least. And they add some mechanics that the Curious Village is missing. Like, in Unwanted Future, there's, like, a note thing that you can do on top of the puzzle.
So
you
don't have to, like,
I don't know, it's like people ask for stuff, and they're like, hey, that would actually make sense to have in the game.
Yeah, yeah. They do that in some of the Curious Village ones. Like, you can draw on, like, some of the overlays in that, but not all of the puzzles. Like, sometimes it would be, like, really useful for some of them, but it just doesn't, like, let you do it.
Okay, yeah, this is, like, always available.
That's good.
And, you know, there's, like, minigames and stuff, but...
Yay, minigames.
Always fun. Mm-hmm. Next one is an eShop game called Pushmo.
Oh, I've heard of Pushmo. Yeah, that's that's one of those, like, really simple puzzle games where I think you need to, like, get to the top of a tower, but you need to, like, push different layers of blocks in specific ways to do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's really all I know, and that I've seen Dave play it a little bit. It takes advantage of the whole 3D thing, too, because, like, the blocks, you don't, like, push them, or you push them, like, inward or outward, so there's a sense of depth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there are a couple of eShops. There's a one that I want to get called the Dempamen. Have you heard of that one?
Maybe. It sounds familiar.
It's pretty much think of, like, you get these guys and you recruit them to your party by looking around, like, the space that you're in and capturing them. So it's kind of like one of those, like, AR. It's got, like, a bit of an AR feature in it because, like, you're using the DS camera in the environment you're in. They're just, like, flying around your room and shit. So you capture them, and then they're part of your party, and you go and explore dungeons and, like, level these guys up. So it's kind of like Pikmin mixed with, like, a Final Fantasy dungeon crawler.
Okay. That's pretty cool.
And Dave played it, and he said it was, like, really, like, quirky and cool. So that's one of those eShop ones I should probably get.
Nice. Resident Evil Revelations next.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, if it's anything like 4... then certainly, but I really haven't played any other Resident Evil games besides 4, and that was after they, like, kind of rebooted the sort of Control style and stuff. So yeah, that's a maybe.
Cool. What does it say about this? Amounts to a satisfying 10-hour adventure.
Oh, that sounds alright.
That nestles into the elaborate Resident Evil timeline.
I like things that nestle.
Yeah, yeah. I think they call them third-person nestlers. Super Mario 3D Land? Sure. Mario.
Oh, wait, is that just that's the remake of the 64 game, right? Or no?
No. This is the new 3DS one.
Oh, okay.
Although Super Mario 64 DS is a lot of fun.
I was thinking of playing that one, actually, because we've got that cartridge here, and I've never beaten it. I feel like that one might be fun. I haven't played a 3D Mario game in a long time.
Yeah, that's good stuff. Mm-hmm. That's the end of their list, except for Cave Story 3D, but I think you already have that on the PC.
Well, I mean, not 3D, but yeah, I have it on the PC, and I beat the shit out of that game. It's another one that I just spent a lot of time on, and I beat, like, I did the hardest, like, ending, and that was incredibly satisfying. I think... I don't know if Dave has that one. I think he pretty much had the same reasoning as me. He's like, yeah, but I have it for computer, and it's just, like, updated graphics and stuff, so whatever.
Yeah, it didn't seem like a whole lot of reason to get it, but... Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, well, cool. So, thank you for that list. That, like, effectively... I'm saving that list because I know I'm going to forget about some of those games. So I'm literally bookmarking that right now.
Sweet.
Cool. Anyways, games. I feel like I've been talking so much. Let's dive into some of the news that you sort of wanted to get into.
I wanted to talk a little bit about Don Matrick, actually.
Oh, okay.
I did want to do that, because that's, like, a real piece of news. So, Don Matrick was Microsoft's, head of their Xbox division, and he's gone. He resigned, I guess, to take up a position as CEO of Zynga.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what happened. That's all, like, kind of shrouded in mystery. It just...
Yeah.
He kind of, like, up and went to go be CEO at Zynga. And I don't know how much, like, association Microsoft and Zynga have with each other or anything.
And I wonder how much Microsoft actually knew about whether or not this was going to happen.
Yeah.
Seems like maybe not a lot, because there's, like, they're doing a corporate reshuffle kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And now they have to find somebody to fill the hole that Matrick left.
Yeah.
And also, like, to set up X-Bone and then just kind of jump ship.
Yeah, that's... I mean, I guess that's kind of how that business world works.
I guess.
I mean, for on that level, I suppose. It was just so bizarre, though. It just kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I don't know. And people are kind of saying that it's kind of like a bad hit for Microsoft. Which... I mean, I don't know how true that is. Like, I don't know how much of, like, a following Matrick has.
No.
I mean, he's no Reggie or anything, but...
Certainly.
Like, I don't know. I don't know if people, like, associate, like, the old face of what the Xbox One used to be with him or something. Like, that's not a completely, like, crazy idea. Because I think it's clear that, like, the Xbox One that we have now is much different from the Xbox One that he was presenting at E3. I mean, just with, like, the reshuffle of the no-use games thing kind of upended. It's just, I mean, it's slightly different. And maybe he's a face that would remind people that at one point the Xbox was a console that they weren't going to buy. I don't know.
Okay, so you think this is Microsoft kind of pushing him out, or this is just Microsoft being okay with him leaving?
I might just be him okay with him leaving. I mean, this is just purely speculative, of course. But like, I'm just saying that's not completely out of reason.
Okay. Yeah, because it sounds like Zynga was like, "Hey, here's a bunch of money," and he was like, "Hoo-hoo, yeah, see ya, Xbox."
Yeah, and like from
Which
what I've heard,
weird because Zynga is not a name I associate with successful company I want to work at.
Yeah, right, because they had actually been doing, like, kind of bad recently, I think.
Yeah.
I forget. I think Zynga bought up... Oh, I remember now. Zynga bought up a lot of money from... what was OMG Pop's game? Not... It was Words of Friends... It was Pictionary. It was fucking Pictionary. What was that game called?
Draw Something?
Yeah, they bought up Draw Something for way too much money. And they have, like, constantly been losing money since they've bought that, like, hemorrhaging cash.
Yeah.
So...
I mean, that's good reason for them to want Matrick.
Yes, that's probably a wise investment. But yeah.
Because the last guy made us buy Draw Something.
Yeah. I think they're, like, putting out Draw Something 2. Or they already put out Draw Something 2, and I think everyone...
How do you make a sequel to Pictionary? It's just Pictionary.
I don't know. Pictionary 2000. Yeah, strange though. Strange news. Did you want to talk about the Double Fine thing? I think that's interesting.
Yeah, I read a little bit about that.
Yeah, like, essentially from what I can make of it, like, nothing, like, super bad is happening. I think they just run into some unexpected difficulties. Because, I mean, the way that, Jesus, what is his name? I can't remember names today. I'm all over the place.
Oh, Double Fine guy?
Yes.
Yeah, what is his name?
Fuck. Tim Schafer.
Tim Schafer, yes.
The way that Tim Schafer described it is that we got all of this money, and then I designed way too much. Because I was really excited for this adventure game, and I made too much for people to design around, and we got overambitious, and we realized that if we were to do all the things that we wanted to do, that the first half of the game wouldn't drop until, like, I think July of 2014 or 2015 or something like that.
Jesus. The first half.
Yeah, right.
Christ, okay.
So essentially what they're doing now is, and it's kind of a neat idea, they're scaling it back. Like, they're compressing all of their ideas and stuff, obviously. That is part one. They're going to take the first half of the game and put it on Steam's, like, early access thing.
Right.
And they're going to allow people to, like, spend a little bit of money to play it. And what they're essentially going to do is take the money that they earn from that and, like, be able to pay everyone who's, like, working on the second part of that.
Right.
And everyone who, like, pledged them on Kickstarter and stuff are still getting, like, their end of the deal. I mean, really, they're just kind of coming up with a creative way to, you know, fuck this, I gotta get some water. They're coming up with a creative way to release this game on time, I feel.
Yeah, while still making money to make it the rest of the way correctly.
Yeah, and it, I mean, it's not, the way that they're doing it isn't pretty by any means, but... Mm-hmm.
It's, I don't think it's shady or anything.
Yeah,
it's
no, like, absolutely not. Like, I've heard there are some people who are, like, trying to call, like, scam on the whole thing. And
mm-hmm.
I've heard a lot of people be like, oh, I don't think you understand what, like, a scam really is.
Yeah.
Like, they're still giving you what they promised.
Yeah, I genuinely don't think that Double Fine would care about anything other than making their game.
Yeah, right, and that seems to be the sentiment throughout, like, a majority of circles. Like, it's mm-hmm. Double Fine. Like, we're not going to completely, like, 100% distrust them. They put out a fucking Sesame Street game on the Kinect.
Wow. Okay.
Hey, I heard that game is really good. And for the record, I still want it.
Okay.
Mike.
I will play this game with you. I'll do it.
All right, good.
You've twisted my arm. I get to be Cookie Monster.
Yeah, I don't know. I just thought it was a very interesting way to solve, like, a kind of, like, really potentially terrible problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's not, like, super scandalous, because we're still in, like, really early days of Kickstarter-based game funding. And Double Fine was, like, the first instance we saw of that
yeah,
kind of started
the
big
first
push
huge
in,
one,
onto
yeah.
Kickstarter. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we're still figuring it out, what we can do, how big our scope can be.
Yeah, like and, that. Like, if people seem to forget that, like, Kickstarter is, like, pretty new.
Mm-hmm.
And
the message that Kickstarter wants to push is that they are not a store.
Yeah, right.
Which is important for people to remember.
Mm-hmm, yeah, people think that they are... I feel like it's best described, like, from other people as it's an investment. You are investing
oh, yeah.
in this company to potentially put out a product.
Right.
Yeah, you are not guaranteed... anything.
Yeah, because a lot of the time it can look like a shop window or a storefront where you can just go on and say, hey, I want this smartwatch. If I put in $15, it can maybe exist.
Mm-hmm.
I just bought a smartwatch, but you didn't just buy a smartwatch. It's not Amazon.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, speaking of Kickstarter, though, there's this crazy fucking game called Star Citizen.
Right.
That has raised millions of fucking dollars.
Oh my god, this game. So, Star Citizen is a game that has been getting funding for a while, I would assume, because they just reached $14 million.
Yeah, $14 million don't pop up overnight.
No. No. God, it's fucking huge. So, it was initially on just taking funding through its own website, Robert Space Industries,
mm-hmm.
which is, like, the people developing it. And then a Kickstarter campaign was created to help that campaign get money. And it's just been pulling in all of the money. It's got all of the money.
Yeah, and I wanted to see, like, obviously why everyone was just losing all of their money over this.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched a little bit of the Kickstarter trailer, and I get it. Like, people who are really into space sims, like, this seems
yeah.
like one of the first really big pushes for
yes.
a very open world living game of a space sim.
I saw it, and my first thought was, this is what I have been waiting for.
Cool.
This is the game that I want. Because I've been looking for a really good space sim, and, like, this is fucking it, man.
And obviously you're not alone in thinking that.
I mean, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
$14 million frickin' dollars.
Yeah.
But, wow. They've got, like, when you see stretch goals on Kickstarter, it's like, hey, if we make it to $75,000 or $175,000, they have, like, a $15 million stretch goal.
Yeah, they do.
And a $16 million goal.
It's such,
insane.
It is insane.
But it's so cool to see
money.
That everybody is willing to pool their money towards this huge, amazing game that's going to be awesome.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. I with that much money behind it and that many people hoping for like something very specific out of this, I hope it pleases everyone. Like, oh, yeah. As many people as it can, because there are so many chances to screw something like that up. I mean, that's a lot of cheese, and I'm worried about how long it's going to take to actually develop and make and get put out. Or
yeah, and there is a high buzz, high demand. So the disappointment will be even greater if it is disappointing.
Is, have they even put out like expected to be released by X date?
No, I haven't seen a date anywhere. And I wouldn't expect one for what I'm seeing.
Yeah,
is being developed.
It just seems like a very, very ambitious idea, and that's
it. Looks like they're building just a world.
Yeah,
and that's going to take time
and a lot of gigs.
Yes.
Of space on your hard drive.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
No, so many gigs.
But it looks cool as hell. I just I hope it doesn't take them like 3 or 4 years to make it.
I know. Well, I mean, if people are willing to wait for Half-Life 3.
Yeah, but people didn't throw their money at Half-Life 3. Half-Life 3 didn't take up $14 million and then just sit.
You don't know that.
I guess I don't know that.
Here's how high the demand for this game is. Here's how excited people are about Star Citizen. Funding on its site began back in October of last year.
Okay.
And then the site was offline for 2 days.
Only last October?
Yeah, right?
Hold on. Are you telling me that in
October 2012?
Like 10 months, or like not even that, like 9 months. Oh, wait, October of 2010?
2012, no.
Oh, my God.
This is what I'm telling you, yes.
In a fraction of a year, they have raised $15 million.
The site was offline for 2 days because of how many people wanted to get at it to throw their money at it. And then a week after that, they launched their Kickstarter campaign with a goal of $2 million. They reached $500,000 6 days after starting their campaign, and they raised $2.1 million before it ended in November. From 34,397 backers.
People really want this thing.
Yes. And amazingly, I have not given it money yet.
Now that I am surprised about.
Because I don't know what my money will get me.
I mean, that's true. I haven't watched the whole 11-minute Kickstarter video.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell it. There are some very big ideas that will hopefully be solidified and managed. But, I mean, no guarantee on that. I'm sure it'll be good.
Oh, yeah. They just put out a video for one of the ships that's going to be in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a car commercial that exists in that universe. And it's really cool.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah.
That's an interesting way to frame that. I like that. Cool.
There's a link on... Oh, okay. There's actually a lot more on the site now than I... had seen before. There's a link to reserve your ship.
Oh. Is that another way to say...
buy the game.
Okay.
Pledge packages are pledge bundles, which will go directly toward helping us make Star Citizen a reality. Yeah, okay. What you get with each package is the actual Star Citizen game upon its release. Access to alpha and beta modules will be released up until the final product. A reservation of your own spaceship and a variety of other add-ons. Huh.
All right. I think it's very good that they're doing the alpha beta thing. I think that they would have to with something this big.
Oh yeah. Okay, so the different tiers. It looks like from $30 to $140. The top tier will get you
a real spaceship.
A real spaceship you can take into space and be in space with. It gets you the finished game with a spaceship in the game, not a real spaceship. 5,000 in-game credits, alpha and beta access, Star Citizen digital download. Digital download of Squadron 42, which I think was his last game. Digital Star Citizen manual, hardback engineering manual, glossy fold-up star map, the game soundtrack on CD, and a spaceship-shaped USB drive.
Huh.
Because why not?
Yeah. I feel like this is a game where you're going to need a fucking engineering manual for.
Right? Oh, it's going to be good.
Jeez. Okay. That's, I mean, that is very exciting.
Oh, yes. $14 million. That's a lot of clams, man.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. Do you want to get water?
Oh, yeah, let me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the part of the show where one of our hosts has become parched and so needs to quench his thirst. This happens to all humans in the world because of their physiology. Water is necessary for our existence, and when talking for a long time, particularly about video games, one can develop a dryness in throat. And it's important to remember that we're all humans.
The fuck are you saying?
What? He seems to have returned, and we should tell him nothing about this. Keep I'm talking that in that tone that you can't hear me, right?
Yeah.
Good.
That was an aside to the audience I didn't hear.
Yes, it was.
Good job.
It was good. You'll hear it later. When you get my files, you'll hear it.
Thank goodness.
Rehydrate,
kids, yeah. Or you'll be a chump, and you'll sound like shit on your podcast.
That's right.
No one wants to be a chump.
No one wants to be a chump.
Don't be a chump.
Water.
Yeah. Not
today. So, Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
They still love their region locking.
Yeah, I read that a bit. And I feel like I don't know enough about the kind of business behind this to really wrap my head around wide region. There was something about importing, like, in order, like, to defend the act of region locking that I don't quite get.
It seems like they do it because they want to respect the wishes of the third party game business people, I think.
Okay.
I'm just kind of reading this now. Yeah, and also this. A quote from Iwata. There are many different regions around the world, and each region has its own cultural acceptance and legal restrictions, as well as different age ratings.
Oh, right.
So there are always things that we're required to do in each different region, which may go counter to the idea that players around the world want the freedom to play whatever they want.
Okay.
So they can't just be this global entity that says, all games are games everywhere. But different, like, countries have different age restrictions. Like, we have the ESRB, but some stuff is different in Australia. They just got their, like, 17-plus rating.
Yeah, right. Like, Australia and Germany in particular are pretty, like, heavy on violence in games. You know what? Knowing Nintendo, that is much less surprising, like, in terms of, like, staying the face of, keeping this kind of face of this, like, family-friendly, non-intruding, like, non-law-breaking company, that makes much more sense.
Right. Whereas, like, Sony and Microsoft, I don't think either the Xbox or the PS4 has region locking baked in. But they do leave the option up to publishers. If you want to region lock your game, you can do that.
Right. Did they get rid of the region locking for the Xbox One in that statement?
I think they did. I think that was one of the things they got rid of.
Okay, that was a smart move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just to stay pace with the PS4.
Well, yeah. Well, that and, like, the whole military thing was stressed.
Oh, yeah,
really
totally.
Bad. Like, soldiers wouldn't be able to use their consoles. Which is, like, really one of the few things that they have.
I know. You're in this foreign country being shot at. You want to play some Xbox.
You just kind of want
to. You should be able to play some Xbox.
I imagine all of these soldiers, like, with their 360s, not wanting to play shooters because they're experiencing that every day, just playing like Viva Pinata instead.
Yeah.
It's like, our game's really big into Viva Pinata right now.
Oh, that'd be great. I want to watch SEAL Team 6 play Viva Pinata.
Me too.
Oh.
How did we get here? Right, region locking.
Yeah, yeah, okay. So yeah, that's Nintendo. Understandable.
Yeah, I kind of get it. And, you know, they are their own universe, so they're probably going to keep on doing that for a long while.
There was something about layoffs and Nintendo that, like, we never really hear about Nintendo layoffs, do we?
Yeah, I guess we don't, really.
And they're really not doing well, so you would think that they might. But we heard something from Iwata this past week about why he doesn't do that. He was talking about, it was in an investor meeting, and he was talking about, you know, the Wii U and the company in general hasn't been doing well, but they don't like to cut staff because, like, they see that as a short-term thing that solves things in the short term, but it's like, it brings down morale in the team, and they see it as counterproductive in the long run.
So pretty much they're providing some really good job security.
Pretty much, yeah.
That was exactly the reasoning for it, too. Like, we just don't want to make our employees unhappy, and we don't think that that really solves problems, and which is cool. Like,
yeah, I think that's good.
Because obviously, like, you want people to keep their jobs.
Yeah, and they're willing to take a hit, profit, and maybe investment-wise, rather than just see people as numbers and get rid of them.
Well, yeah, didn't, like, Iwata himself take, like, a 50% pay cut or something like that? Like,
I think he did,
I think it was, like, a little bit after they launched the 3DS.
Yeah, yes.
I think that's specifically when they were, like, doing their worst, at least publicly.
Yeah, they did a price cut on the 3DS, and then, yeah, he took a pay cut.
Yeah. Just so incredibly noble. You would never, ever see that in capitalist America. That
never.
Would be unheard
not
of.
From, like, EA. Certainly not from EA.
Well, yeah. No, that's good. That's interesting methodology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a really good thing, and that really makes me respect Nintendo and Iwata a lot more.
Mm. Oh, can we do the new green lights? Not that I probably know any of them at all.
Yeah, we can run through those. Let's see what we got. So this was the 1st of July. Do they just greenlight things on the 1st? Or is it like the 1st and 15th?
Maybe they do monthly stuff. I don't know.
Maybe. Look into it. So, listing.
I literally know none of these games, Mike.
I didn't think I knew any of them either. But they are brand new because they just got greenlit. But
all right.
Games. Cognition, an Erica Reed thriller, which is a point-and-click adventure game. Paranormal Powers, Hunt for a Serial Killer.
Paranormal Powers and an FBI agent? That Mysteries. Sounds like a game I might actually want to play.
Yeah, it looks like good stuff.
And I don't like adventure games, but that sounds...
I recall.
Really cool.
Next, Day One, Gary's Incident, first-person survival game. You play as a veteran pilot in his early 40s. You crash land in the jungles of the Amazon and are forced to survive against the odds.
All right.
Sure.
What is this? What is Guncraft?
Guncraft. It's Minecraft with guns.
All right. Oh, so it's pretty much it. Hopefully it's better than Ace of Spades, because I heard Ace of Spades wasn't that good, and that's kind of what that game was going for.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah. I forgot about that. It didn't look that great. But, yeah, so it looks like Minecraft. It's voxels.
Yeah. Oh, customize your classes, craft your own guns. Oh, that's nice. That's cool.
Yeah. So, Minecraft.
Oh, you know, another game to do that. Have you looked into or heard of Mercenary Kings at all?
Yes. I've talked about that.
I thought you had. You know, I wasn't sure. I don't know, because I know that Dave definitely had. There was a bit of news about them recently, actually. I think they're doing the Steam Early Access thing as well very soon.
Yeah, I think so. They're bringing out beta access to people who backed it at that level.
Yeah, I'm
exciting.
I really kind of might want to invest in that, because, like, you invested in it, Dave invested in it, and I think that would be super fun to play together.
It looks really good. Just the pixel art and the animation looks great, and the music is going to be good. And it's the same people who did the Scott Pilgrim game. So
yeah.
How can you not?
I should probably throw money at that, I guess.
Yes.
Out of obligation.
Green lights. Back to green lights. Homesick is a first-person point-and-click adventure puzzle game. with a focus on high-quality visuals and starkly different day and night gameplay modes, which sounds interesting, and now I want to watch the trailer.
That sounds scary as shit.
It looks pretty.
Are you going to describe the trailer to us?
should I do that? Because I've listened to podcasts.
Hold on, wait, stop it, and it's let's rewind fun. It. Here, if you guys want, you can watch the Homesick trailer with us. We'll provide a link.
Yes. So we're panning to the left, across a hallway with some vegetation. Oh, now it's gotten scary. Oh, wow. If that's the difference between day and night, that is interesting and terrifying. There's, like, ink flying up from the floor toward the ceiling. Okay. Yeah, a lot of contrast. There's calm, peaceful camera movements and brightness during the day, and then at night it's, like, really shaky and jittery looking around. And terrifying. Interesting. I mean, I didn't see...
That's a super vague trailer.
It really is. I didn't see any sort of point or what the story could be, but sure, it's a mechanic that looks interesting.
Oh, no. Look at the next game.
In Verbis Virtus, a first-person fantasy action puzzle game where you use a microphone to cast spells in-game by actually saying the magic words out loud.
Harry Potter fans, this is your game.
Wow. Yeah, right? Oh, man. I could never play that game.
I could never either. I don't like talking.
Yeah, clearly we say in the middle of our hour-long podcast.
Why the fuck are you guys listening to this?
I don't know.
What's wrong with you?
People are messed up.
Hmm.
So, yeah, that's like a Kinect thing, I guess. Yeah,
basically. The next one looks interesting, though.
Super Motherload. A sequel to the developer's earlier Motherload. So, like, old-time naming thing where you had, like, Metroid, Super Metroid...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Or Super Meat Boy, even.
Yes, that as well. Casual co-op adventure RPG. As you dig under the surface of Mars for valuable minerals, which you can sell to upgrade your digger and go even deeper.
That sounds like a game, like a Flash game I've played before.
That was probably Motherload.
It's probably Motherload, yeah. All right.
Let's see what else
we got. How many of these are... Oh, okay, we've only got a few more, yeah.
Vector is a side-scrolling, free-running platform with over 50 levels and lifelike animations. Looks interesting because it's, they said it's a side-scroller, but it's like you looking from the top down.
Really?
Because you can see this guy's, like, jumping across buildings. You can see the street below him. So that might be kind of cool.
I'm glazing through it right now. Oh, okay, that's interesting. It's cool. It kind of looks like a mix between, like, Cannibalt and, what was that other, like, free-running game?
Yeah, the one that just got a sequel.
Yeah, that we don't fucking remember. God damn
Mirror's
it.
Edge.
Mirror's Edge, yeah. It looks like Cannibalt mix up Mirror's Edge.
It does, yeah. Verdun, a cooperative, massively multiplayer online squad-based FPS, which takes place during World War I.
I wonder if it has the realistic, like, musket reloading.
Oh, God. Or the realistic life in the trenches.
That sounds fun. Fun games. Mm.
Sarajevo is for lovers of trench warfare.
The next one does not look like a game, but it does.
No, the rest of these are software, because Steam does that now.
Right, right.
So you've got software for, like, better multiple monitor support on Windows 7, and then some a game-making thing. And what is this? Music production.
All right.
Sounds interesting.
All right, cool.
So, what kind of stands out? Really just Cognition stands out to me. I don't know that I would actually be interested in any of these other ones.
Yeah, Cognition does look pretty interesting. Sorry, let me go through them again just to see.
Yeah.
I already forgot about all of them.
So did I.
Guncraft could be interesting. I feel like that's one of those I always have potential, because I always thought that I was super surprised when no one's ever made a first-person, like, Minecraft game where you can use your environment to your advantage.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping that, like, they take advantage of that idea.
Yeah.
Because, like, off the top of my head, I could already think of, like, a couple of, like, small, quick, like, minigame scenarios that you could do. Or, like, you have X amount of blocks and X amount of blocks to place, and once you place the blocks, you can't unplace the blocks, and it's, like, you versus one other person. So you could, like, develop different strategies to... I don't know, like, shit like that, I think, has a lot of potential.
So, like, Sanctum, but with more freedom to place things.
Yes.
And rather than, like, placing turrets, you're just placing blocks.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Yeah, could be cool.
But man, that World War I simulator.
Oh, yes. I look forward to the mustard gas.
Was that a thing in World War I?
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah, not good.
Not a good time to live.
Mm-mm.
Not if you're so listening much. To this from World War I, I feel bad for you.
Yeah, did we mention that we also broadcast back in time to
1914? We have a time travel antenna. Time travel radio antenna.
Time travel radio antenna is now a game and or movie that has to happen.
Yeah, we're making it. It's going to come out in 6 months if you give us $1 million.
$16 million?
Kickstarting right now.
It's a sister movie to Hot Tub Time Machine.
Yeah.
It's a little different.
I mean, a little bit. I mean, it's kind of going to be like Night Trap, where there are, you point and click, but there are also live action segments that just cut right in the middle of the game.
Right. There will be breaks for ads, like radio.
Which, I mean, come on, like, you gotta have that.
Right. Otherwise, the game can't be free, which it isn't. Right. It's $30.
Like, yeah, I mean, it's $30 minimum.
Mm-hmm.
There are better editions of it.
We will,
$40 will have sound.
For $50 or $60, even, let's say $60, we can get, Ira Glass to do some NPR pieces in the game. If there's one thing that I think we've seen the majority of gamers love, it's NPR.
Well, of course, unanimously.
Yep. All right, let's write up the Kickstarter.
Let's get away as far away from this terrible idea as we can.
God.
Okay. Let's start wrapping up. What else can we mention real quick here?
Some quick things. There's a cool looking game about Tesla.
I watched the trailer, and I hope that they make it better, because that does not look like it's fun. It does look like an intriguing idea for a game, but they gotta polish that shit.
Oh yeah, it didn't look great. It says technology prototype.
So. Yes, yeah, it's right in the bottom corner. So again, I'm hoping that they, they will up the ante on that.
I was just reminded by my brain, which has random thoughts, of another game that came out a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you ever heard anything about Sir, You Are Being Hunted.
You know what? I think I might have watched a trailer for that, actually.
I just remembered that it exists.
I remember that it was really intriguing.
Yeah.
What is that? What are you all
like
about?
A survival thing where you're being hunted by robots.
Oh, right. Right. I do remember that.
Yeah. I don't know, maybe it was the art style.
Yeah, it's a similar setup, except for old zombies. It's like steampunk robots that are trying to get your shit.
Yeah, and Sir, You Are Being Hunted was, like, darker.
Yeah.
Darker sort of style thing. Yeah.
That was incredibly random. Wow, I totally
yes, it
forgot
was.
About that game.
I don't know why that popped into my head.
Huh.
Other stuff is a game called Tessellation. It's a free puzzle game where you play with yourself.
Yeah. Yes, I
let
did
me rephrase that.
Reiterate, please.
It's touted as like single player co-op.
Yeah, it's kind of got
you,
if you've ever
it's like you
like,
play a level and then you play with that copy of yourself.
Yeah, it's kind of like first person PB Winterbottom.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
It's got the same idea where you go back in time, but then there's
and a little
other
bit
copies.
Of Braid also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's other copies of you that reenact what you acted out before.
Yeah.
So you are like kind of solving these portalish puzzles with yourself.
Yeah, it's a cool idea.
Yeah, for sure.
Other things, EA. In we too often say horrible and nasty things about EA being evil. But there was an article about their annual Pride Parade. EA specifically has like a banner in the San Francisco Pride Parade.
Yeah, I saw that.
Or they took part in it. So.
Yeah, I read about that. And that is, I will completely admit, that is nice. That is good. That
if they take part in shitty business dealings, at least...
At least we know they are really cool with the LGBT community.
Right. At least they don't care who you marry.
Yes. I don't think, though, those two are incredibly related. I don't think that changes how I feel about EA as a company.
Oh, definitely not, no.
But it's nice.
Sure.
That's good.
Thank you for one shred of humanness, EA.
Yes.
If you want to read a big, cool article, there's a big, cool article on Polygon that we can maybe link to about the birth of Kenya's games industry.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't open that one up, but
I thought was interesting.
I'm going to bookmark that one.
Because developing industries in developing nations is a cool thing.
I bet it's a really interesting read, because like, I feel like that's something that we never really think about how, like,
mm-hmm.
Every once in a while, we are very, very briefly reminded that games are a luxury, and then we push that thought away because we think of them as, like, our great hobby, and we don't want to think of them as, like, this nice, shiny thing that other places don't have, because,
right.
I mean, we are kind of privileged in that sense.
Kinda?
Yeah, probably, definitely.
Seeing it develop in these places that don't always have, like, consistent access to internet,
mm-hmm.
or maybe power, that's really cool.
I bet that really affects how they design things, too.
Oh, totally. There was something else that I read about, there was something about developers in Tehran. I don't remember what game it was, but they had some kind of geography-based issues with their development.
Cool story.
Yeah. yeah. So that's the thing.
All right.
Is there anything else? I think we did all of this. Yes. Except for quick museum thing. The Royal Ontario Museum is having a game jam to create interactive exhibits, which is awesome.
That is pretty cool.
And it ties into the bigger thing of games being in museums.
Yeah, and I think it also provides like an interesting like niche of like these games used for like interactive education in like public spaces.
Yeah, there's that too, that like Minecraft is being used to teach things.
Yeah, it's like used in some like younger classes to teach about like cooperation and stuff.
Yeah,
which is super cool. But it's mm-hmm.
I think Minecraft was just taken to, was it MoMA? They have their like video game section, and like it's Pong and Pac-Man, and somebody just brought Minecraft in.
Oh, good.
Which totally belongs there, I think.
Museum of Modern Art.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Pretty sure it was MoMA.
I didn't know that. MoMA and GOG.
You know, I just come in here with my...
Your newfangled, new-age acronyms?
The acronyms, yeah, that's the word.
Thank I always goodness. Forget that word.
Yeah.
And the only... The last, like, small piece of news was, I guess... EA has sent out surveys to people asking if they would prefer an offline mode for SimCity.
What do you think?
Something that was previously impossible.
Yeah.
To make, according to them.
Well, it may be impossible, but do you guys want it?
Jesus.
Oh my God. I mean, it was the same thing with Microsoft, and it's impossible to reverse all the things we've made the Xbox, and then they just reversed all the things they made the Xbox.
No, you guys are just dicks. Give us a single player version.
Yes.
Whatever.
So stupid.
I don't even want to think about it. Fucking EA.
Yeah, by now, you know what? I don't want to buy your game. Single player or not.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Okay, well, that was a doozy of a podcast. Mm-hmm. But hey, we had a lot to listen to. Fuck
yeah,
you.
A lot of good
listener.
Stuff. Hey.
Hey, yeah, for being all angry about how long this is, you're probably not angry at all. You're probably okay. I don't know, it depends. Like, some people are really cool with, like, long podcasts. Like,
mm-hmm.
I know that Destructoids usually runs for, like, 2 hours. which is a long time in my opinion, but there are people like, no, you should totally have it for like longer and stuff. And I think that there was like not too long ago, I don't know if it was like Giant Bomber, it was someone who did like a big reunion cast. They did a 6-hour podcast.
Jeez.
That's like a marathon run.
Well, they have like actual journalists and things to talk about.
I guess that's true.
We're important too.
Mike, you make things on the internet. Where can we find those?
I do. You can find me on YouTube at youtube.com/vlognegan, because I vlog.
What was your most recent vlog about? This is something I want to start doing every week, because you do like a bunch of vlogs every week, but we never actually talk about like the things that you vlog about. So it may be an interesting way to showcase your shit.
Well, thank you. my shit appreciates it. My most recent one was about the word up and how it is used in all these crazy different ways in the English language.
I watched that one, and I really, really enjoyed it.
I'm pretty proud of it. I like how it turned out.
It was very clever.
Yeah. Good stuff. So if you're interested in the word up, be sure to mosey on over to youtube.com/vlognegan and kind of backing off of making as many vlogs just because it's summer and I have work and I'm crazy tired all the time and stuff and my schedule's weird now. But I don't know. The amount of things I make fluctuates throughout the year. So
yeah,
now I'm,
it happens.
I'm veering more towards quality over quantity now, and I'll get worse quality and more videos later. So look forward to that, guys.
That's an interesting trading of hands that you got going there.
Also, you can check out youtube.com/EganWorks, which is my production channel, and that's where the documentary that I made about our friend who likes duct tape, and I know I say that like same thing every week, but please watch it because I'm proud of it and I think it's good.
It is very good.
Also, follow me on Twitter at EganWorks.
You can also follow me at Zach Bruin on Twitter. And check out my stupid vines. I don't even remember the last one I made. It's been a little bit. Actually, I might not have made one since.
I like our vines.
Hey, we've got a pretty good vine war going on. It's hardly a war. It's about shaving cream. It's stupid as shit. I like it.
Love it.
Yeah. Let us know what shaving cream you use by emailing us at fbcsim@gmail.com. We will definitely read your email because
tune
we don't.
Tune in next week for first person shaving cream simulator.
Yeah, we're just gonna shave for an hour, which is gonna be painful because you know what? You can't just shave your face for a whole hour.
That's right. We don't have a lot of facial hair.
Yeah, guys, presumptuous as hell, thinking that we would do that for you.
Unbelievable.
Can't believe it.
The blog stuff is on the internet, so go find it.
Good.
You can find the blog itself at firstpersonblogsim.wordpress.com. It's on Twitter at FPBSim. God damn it. Calling the podcast a different thing is messing me up. It's on Twitter at FPBSim. Follow it for things. It's on Tumblr at FPBSim.tumblr.com. It's on Facebook at Facebook.com/FPBSim.
Good job.
Also, iTunes.
Oh, shit, yeah. Well, if you didn't know, which you probably do if you're listening to this, we're on iTunes. If you like our podcast, please take 2 seconds to go into that shitty, shitty iTunes store. Review and rate it. I don't like how the iTunes store is laid out.
No,
I think their search bar is dumb. I don't like iTunes at all. But they do host the podcast, so I guess they're doing at least one thing right.
Ho-ho!
But please, rate us, review us. They will mean a lot to us since we're only like, 14 podcasts in.
Yes.
But we really dig doing this. I think we're going to be doing it for a while, so each of your ratings and reviews really count. This is something that I look forward to working on every week. It's just a good way to keep up with games. I dig
podcasts till we die.
Hopefully. I mean, that's the idea.
Well, wait, really?
Yep.
Because I got to move some stuff around then.
All right. All right, bye, guys.
See ya.